It's like, you know, I have to cover my lack of confidence by putting on a bold front. And so if I'm starting to get rocked a little bit and I don't have the answers and I'm not sure of myself, I'll start coming off very aggressively to cover that. But if you've done your homework, if you are walking in wisdom, if you really, truly understand the issues. And I've done a lot of negotiating in my life. I used to negotiate with attorneys about the values of claims and stuff like that. And if you do your homework, you don't have to be shaken by them. I don't care what, I don't care how many degrees they have. I don't care if they've been on the Supreme Court. If I know the case, I know the case. And when you are in an encounter about the things of God, if you've done your homework, not just theoretically, if you have lived this out, if you are a man of the Word and you walk in that wisdom daily, and God's wisdom is a part of your life, and it dictates how you see the world and how you see God and how you see yourself, and you get your worldview from the Word of God, you will be confident in those situations. You will have the wisdom of God. You won't be shaken. You won't be afraid and stuttering and stammering. And you won't have to put on a veneer of aggressiveness to give the, you know, to try to fool your opponent. You can just be calm and relaxed. Confidence comes from wisdom. And we'll see that later on next week when Stephen, after he gives his speech, Stephen remains calm and his opponents become total maniacs. He rattles their cage so bad that they just totally flake out on him. Give you an example. You know, if the pastor were to call you in the office, let's not use the pastor. I don't want to set myself up. If you're in school and the principal calls you into the office, do you get a little bit shaken up? Well, some of you homeschoolers, man, don't even give me that smug look. Your mom calls you and says, oh, I want to talk to you. But when the principal calls you down to the office, do you get a little rattled by that? Because the principal might have something to say that's going to really rattle you. It's reasonable to be rattled by that. But you know what? I had a little kid once say something to me. I was about 16 years old. I was hanging out with my buds one holiday season. I think it was probably Christmas, and we were all partying and carrying on in my bedroom. And there was this rock band called Captain Beyond that we were all into. You guys ever heard of Captain? Anybody ever heard of Captain Beyond? Stop. They were good. What are you talking about? Sure. Yeah, sure. They were a rockin' band. They were like metal before its time. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Anyway, we were all rocking out to Captain Beyond, and on side two of the record, yeah, we flipped the record over and put on side two. There was this song that came out that was very complex. It was one of these progressive rock bands that played like really intricate, complex kind of stuff, and this song was in 5/8 time, which, you know, probably most of you guys like, you know, whatever. You know, but anyway, you know, 5/8 time is like this really complex rhythm, and I had my drum set in the room, but I loved this song, and I learned how to play it. So when they put the record on, you know, I just started playing along on the drums of this thing, and we're all, you know, it was the holidays, we're just kind of carrying on, and I'm rocking out like Heather does in her room with her drum set, you know, just kind of rocking to the record, and I'm keeping up with this 5/8 thing, and it was pretty cool, you know. And this guy's one of my buddies, his little brother was there, his little, you know, little kid, and he's looking at me like, because, you know, if you understand 5/8 time, that can be impressive. You can be like, wow, that's pretty cool, man. He's playing in 5/8. If you don't, it really doesn't rock at all. It's just kind of like, you know, like my wife. You know, it's like, when are you going to turn off that noise? So, you know, he's looking at me unimpressed, totally unimpressed. He's so unimpressed, probably thinking, man, it's so loud in here. Would you stop, please? And when I get done, you know, I'm patting myself on the back in my mind. And he has this look, half disgusted and half full of sympathy. His little kid looks me right in the face and he says, you're not a very good drummer, are you? Of course, being a Calvinist, I know that God ordained him to say that to humble me. So, you know, yeah. But, you know, I mean, and he said it in such a way as to really be a dig. You know, you're really not a very, as if to say, boy, you know, don't ever let anybody in public hear you do that, because that is just embarrassing, man. I can't use the word. That stunk. Well, I could have jumped down there. I could have got all defensive about it. I could have let my pride get in the way and, you know, jump down. Do you realize what, you know, on and on and on. But I didn't care what that little kid thought. You know, and frankly, it was noise to him. And you know what? I knew it was noise to him. So I just kind of smiled at him and say, I just laughed at the guy. I wasn't rattled by that. I didn't have to defend myself because he's a little kid. What does he know about 5'8"? What does he care about 5'8"? Did it rock? No. It was noise, and so I didn't get rattled by it. You know, a little kid comes up to you and says, you know, I think you're ugly. You're not going to... You know, be traumatized by that. You're going to say, kid, you know, get a life. See you later. You know, do you want a cookie? My point is this, you know, when people say stuff that really isn't, you know, that really doesn't intimidate us, we have no reason to get shaken up by that. And if we will do our homework, we won't be defensive. We won't be intimidated by these people because we know the truth. And that gives us the confidence and the boldness to simply let it slide. Stephen didn't care what those guys says. He knew what Scripture said. And he gives it, we're going to see, he gave a very beautiful defense, point by point, against everything they accused him of. So anyway, walk in the presence of God. Number two, walk in the wisdom of God. Number three, walk in the righteousness of God. And I'll close with this. Walk in the righteousness of God. Do you want to glow? Walk in God's righteousness. Walk in obedience to God. Follow His ways. Do the things He says to do. Matthew 13:41. Jesus said, the Son of Man, talking about the end of the age, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and they will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will do what? Shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now I realize this is talking about the end of the age after our resurrection of glory. But I will say this, you cannot walk in sin and walk in the glory of God at the same time. They are diametrically opposed. You can't have a crooked walk with God and expect to walk in His power at the same time. It's just that simple. Sin and righteousness do not mix. Light and darkness do not mix. And if you want to see the power of God manifested in your life, shining forth like the sun, you got to walk a straight walk with God. It's that simple. It boils down to that. Darkness and light don't mix. You can't walk in sin and the power of God at the same time. There have been far, far too many men, anointed men of God, who did amazing things for God, who later compromised their walk and fell into sin, and that anointing vaporized. And that strength left them. And not only their testimony was gone, but the power of God was gone from their life as well. Far too many men I've seen that were amazing men of God doing mighty things for the kingdom of God, and they didn't watch their walk, and they fell into sin, and that glory left them. There was a guy named Paul Cain, and I'm not saying this to diss Paul Cain. I understand he's repented, and he's back under accountability and working in the ministry again. Paul Cain was one of the most amazing prophets of God that ever walked this planet. He worked with John Wimber a lot. He'd be in a room full of people, pick out a person out of a crowd of thousands of people and say, God just told me that blah, 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 blah. And it would nail them to a T. I mean, as though he had been walking with them for years. He knew he could read their life like a book. God would reveal these things to him, and he would call out these situations, and then they would come forward for prayer, and God would heal them in amazing, miraculous ways. When I read some of the accounts of what Paul Cain would do under that anointing, it staggers me. It made me thirsty to see the power of God unleashed. But he fell into alcoholism and homosexuality for many years of his life and disappeared off the scene, and that anointing left him and that power left him. And it was heartbreaking to hear about it years later. And Scripture says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And praise God, the Lord got a hold of him again, and he's repented of that, and now he's under counseling and accountability, and he's working his way back, and he's walking with God again. But you know, it just breaks my heart. And you know, in 2009, let's set our face like a flint that we're going to walk with God, not only in power, not only in wisdom, but in righteousness. Let's get real with God about ourselves. And I'm not saying this in condemnation by any stretch of the imagination. I'm saying it to myself as well. For the thing, whatever it is, the things that is that God shows me that I need to shore up in order to become that man of God that He's given me a vision to be. Let's really be sensitive. Let's stop rationalizing. Let's stop making excuses. Let's stop coming up with all the reasons why we can't be who God has called us to be. And let's say, by the grace of God, I'm going to get victory this year. 2009 is going to be the year of victory. I'm going to see it, and I'm going to pursue God until I taste it, until it's within my grasp, until I can hold that victory close to my breast and say, to the glory of God, I am what I am. Amen. You want the glow, walk in the presence of God. If you want the glow, walk in the wisdom of God. And if you want the glow, walk in the righteousness of God. Because one day, the righteous are going to shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And I want all of us standing there on that day, man. I want I want to have to wear shades when I walk into the kingdom of God on that day, because the glow is so bright it hurts my eyes. The Full Gospel Boogie Band used to sing, the future's looking so bright, I gotta wear shades, man. Just the thought of it. So let's do that, amen. Let's be the church this year. Let's be the people God has called us to be. Let's be a whole room full of Stevens. Praise God. Let's be a whole hall full of Stevens, a whole auditorium full of Stevens, man. Let's be a whole city full of Stevens. Now, I know football is on today. And listen, I'm just as much a football fan as anybody. I'm going to be screaming my lungs out watching the men in purple. Take your pick, the Ravens or the Vikings. I don't care, whatever you want. And yeah, we get excited because it's Sunday for a number of reasons. One, because, you know, we're the body of Christ. But also maybe some of us are saying, it's Sunday, man, get the popcorn, we're going to watch some football. And I am not taking anything away from that. But let me say this. When you're looking at your Sunday and you're thinking, you know, church football. As much as I love football, when we sit there on that game, when all of us, you know, over the hill, overweight, you know, balding, you know, men sit around with popcorn and beverages, screaming and hollering and act like a bunch of kids watching a football game. We are living vicariously through them. We are not professional athletes. Well, Bill is. We don't have muscles on top of muscles, you know, growing out and can run, you know, 5 miles without even breaking a sweat. You know, Bill can. But most of us guys are living vicariously through these football players. You know, we're over here, you know, on the couch, you know, with our popcorn and chips and our burgers. Yeah, man, give me another ham sandwich over there. Oh, look, man, touchdown. They are the ones who are out there in battle. They are engaged in battle. They are the ones who are fighting for the touchdown, fighting for the points, hammering on one another, doing great exploits for their team. And we're simply sitting on a couch with our gut hanging over our belt, enjoying it on their behalf. Amen? But when you talk about the battle that is truly in reality raging all around us, that is claiming the souls of people, and their souls are hanging in the balance. God is calling us to take the field. He's not calling us to sit with our gut hanging over our belt, watching as other people do the battle. He is calling us to be that angel. He is calling us to be the warriors. He is calling us to make the difference. He's calling us to suit up, to put on the armor of light, the helmet of salvation, the shoulder pads and the breastplate of righteousness. And He's calling us to go out and take the field. And there is a battle to be fought, and there is a victory to be won. And when we come in here on Sunday morning, it's not us watching them. We come to do battle for God, and all of heaven is watching us. We are the ones they are cheering on. We are the ones they are hollering and hooping and carrying on about. If we will be the church of God that He's called us to be, if we will be the people of God, the army of God that He has called and destined each of us to be, then all of heaven will be cheering us on as we take the field of battle. That's what God is calling us to do in 2009, to put away the popcorn and put away the soda and gear up for battle and take the field for Jesus Christ. That's why Sunday is such an exciting day.
Hallelujah!
Yeah, brother! Well, praise God! Yes, sir. What is behind me? Okay, I just wanted to double check. You just never know with these guys. Well, praise God. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Amen. What is today?
Sunday.
Sunday. Are you ready to gear up?
Yeah.
Are you ready to suit up?
Yeah.
Are you ready to take the field?
Yeah.
Are you ready for a fight? Amen. Well, glory to God. Let's give Him the praise then. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Woo! Praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, we just implore You, send us, Lord. Send us. Put us in the game, God. Suit us up, Lord, and send us out to the field. Lord, don't let this year go by without us being in the battle. Lord, send us to victory. In Jesus' name, we ask God, in Jesus' name, do this for us. And His church said,
Amen.
Amen.